Welcome to episode 44 of Not Another Podcast, where I navigate life with the help of some friends. I'm Billy, glad to have you along. This episode, I'm joined by friend of the show, now hat-trick hero of the show, Andy Homan. Me and him had a really good chat. We spoke about life, spoke about finance, musicals, the office, work, friendships, family, all sorts. It was really, really fun. What a conversation that those who work with us, we've had many of these over the years, but I'm glad we got to record this one. It's really, really fun, and I hope you enjoy it too. Just before we get into the episode, a couple of things. Firstly, in this intro, it's late night sexy radio voice again. I've been coaching for the last week for the first time in months, and the voice has taken a bit of a pounding. So lucky you, you get the late night radio voice again. And secondly, in terms of the audio of the episode, me and Andy recorded in the same room. For the first time, I've recorded with someone in the same room for months and months and months. So the audio was a little bit inconsistent at times, but I've tried to level it out as much as possible. So it might jump up a little bit, might go down a little bit, but for the most part, you'll hear what we're saying. But yeah, the wonders of showbiz. But anyway, if you enjoy the episode, please give it a share. It would mean a hell of a lot for you to share it to a friend, to someone who might enjoy an open and honest conversation, a conversation you'd have down at the pub with two everyday people talking about life, having a giggle, being open, being honest. If that's your cup of tea, if that's a friend's cup of tea, share it to them. That'd be greatly appreciated. But I'll stop talking now. I'll leave you in the capable hands of myself and Andy. Until next week, I'll catch you later. This is the first time actually I've recorded with someone in the room. Usually it's like all Zoom and stuff. I think the last time I did it was with Grace, actually. That was like the 10th episode. That was ages ago.
The one with the...
Yes, baby! Yeah. Everlasting. That was ages ago.
That song was in my head for days afterwards, too. What song was in my head? Oh, it's... I was watching the US Office, and it was an episode where Michael Scott, he set up his own company because he left.
Mm.
And it was like one of the rooms downstairs in the building where Dunder Mifflin was. And he eventually, in a roundabout way, got his job back. But he kept the room and turned it into Michael's disco, and it was like cafe disco. And he's down there on his own, and he had the everybody dance now. That was on, and that's been in my head for like 3 days. I've listened to that in the car 2 or 3 times. That's an absolute banger. But yeah, yeah, mate.
Yeah, that's. I find it's quite funny with those sort of things. Like we said, for doing like the Warzone stuff with Lewis on a Friday. It's like tonight, for example, and it always gets to the Friday. And I always have that Tenacious D, like infiltrate, storm the gates. Always in my head. Like I went for a walk this morning. And it's just always like, yeah, getting ready and like, getting out. It's just like the mission's clear. I'm going over there.
I'm trying to remember, like. I'm trying to remember when it was that I first heard them. Oh God, when was it? Definitely at college. I can't remember if it was my mate Matt, who's the back to front.
Oh yeah,
who was the
pioneer. The OG back to fronter.
Or if it was at school with my mate Pete, who's a big metalhead. One of my best mates, and listening to them then, like when back then, like the new stuff was Kickapoo and.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. And yeah, mate, they are so good. They're so funny. I could listen to them all day.
Oh my God. They're really funny, but they're also really quite good. Quite good structured songs
as well.
Jack
Black is brilliant. He's a accomplished musician in himself, but he'll always be seen as an actor and sort of like. He's not a parody musician because. They're a band in their own right. They just do more comedy songs and parody stuff, don't they? But
yeah,
I think Jack Black's brilliant.
Yeah, he's class, to be fair. I think I remember with that Tenacious D, the first I ever heard of them was, it was in secondary school, and one of my friends, he'd be sick on the guitar, and he'd
play Kickapoo.
Mm.
And he'd always just play, we'd be sat there, like we used to like hang around like the music room and stuff, and like plug our phone into the bass amplifiers and just blare music in there, in like a practice room. And he'd always just like sit there with a guitar, and then all of a sudden he'd just go, dun, 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 dun. We'd all start laughing. It turned into listening to Kickapoo, to Fuck Her Gently. Then it just slowly dwindled into then. I then watched what's a Pick of Destiny.
Mm.
I was like, brilliant.
I remember Tenacious D. So my mate, so my two best mates in the world, a guy called Ging and a guy called Pete. And Pete had recently broken up with his long-term girlfriend. So we were like, okay, we hopped in my mate Ging's old Fiesta. We went to pick up Pete and we just drove. And we ended up, because we were in Henley, we ended up as far as like Wootton Bassett.
Cool.
But the whole drive there, we were listening to like Tenacious D and just belting the songs out. And that was so funny. And obviously me with my ability to hit some high pitch stuff, things like Kickapoo and stuff were great. And also threw in one or two musical songs. There was Defying Gravity from Wicked,
I tell you what, it's one of those ones we've had chats in the office before about musicals and West End and stuff. I've never been, but I've listened to Defying Gravity off of the back of like our chats in the office, and that's one like, it's one of those ones I'd have to be. When I'd listen, if it ever come up in my Spotify or something, I have to listen to it all the way through. Mm. It's one of those ones. It's weird with music, right? I've just muddied up the floor. It's weird with music, that sort of thing. Especially that sort of style is the technical term for it. They're like goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
The technical term for that is like frisson, like musical frisson, when like a certain sound or certain thing gives you goosebumps, mm-hmm. or evokes a feeling. And that was one of the songs that Defying Gravity was one that got me, like proper goosebumpy. And I've never even seen the musical, so I don't know how it would be.
I adore musicals. I've always enjoyed them, and I remember going. I've been to a few shows and musicals, but Wicked is just amazing. And so we went in London, me and Holly, and I knew it was a big show. In the run-up to it, I'd listened to a bit of the music, but I knew, obviously, Defying Gravity, because loving musicals, I like to watch Glee. When Glee first came out, I watched the first few series of that, and I loved it. And I've always thought, in another life, or growing up, if I hadn't been as sort of... People wouldn't say I was shy now, but if I wasn't so shy, and you could say insecure, I was always a big boy. And possibly not as popular as others. So I wasn't as confident. I reckon in another life, I'd have done 100%. I'd have
gone on the West End.
100%, mate. I love it. I love going. I like when I'm on my own, I like singing. I enjoyed dancing growing up. We did dance competitions at school, which I always like joined in with them, like group stuff. And we won some stuff when we were kids, year five and six. And I loved it. But yeah, going to see Wicked, I remember. So that song comes on, and there's an amazing like key change bit, and it's the bit in the song where you've had the sort of first few bits of it, and then on the stage show that there's like soldiers that are about to catch Elphaba, who's the witch, and she's like, oh my god, you know, I've got escape, blah blah blah. And then it's the key change. And then on the stage, she lifts up. She goes up to the top. And the whole screen looks like her sort of... Her black dress, for want of a better word. Yeah. And she's hitting the big bit towards the end. And at that bit, I had goosebumps. And I've found, as I've got older with music and stuff like that, I get a lot more sort of emotional about music now. And so that bit happened, and then they did the big finish, that bit, and then it's just boom, stopped, black curtain comes down, I'm on my feet, losing my shit, tears in my eyes, this is amazing, just clapping, and it's like, oh my god, this is so good. But yeah, mate, that song is just such a marquee moment of like of just musical theatre, I think, of what I've seen. But yeah, mate, it's, oh, I love it.
See, that, yeah, that's the thing. I'm the exact same when it comes to music, whether proud to admit or not. There's some times, in some moments in music where you listen to things, you go, fuck, like, it's quite emotional.
Oh, mate.
And I found with, for example, I think the most recent one, I only recently watched it, was it A Star Is Born?
I haven't watched it.
Great film. No, I listened to the soundtrack before watching the film, and I really enjoyed the soundtrack. But the film is quite really well done. I thought it was going to be a bit gimmicky or whatever, but it's really well done. That starts with, what's it, with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Mm. Holly loves Bradley Cooper.
I thought it was really good. Yeah. Mm.
Very. She loves Bradley Cooper. That's her celebrity
on the list.
Pass. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bradley, she loves. Hence my longer hair.
Just need a guitar now.
This is the 99% of me that's not Bradley Cooper.
More Mini Cooper than Bradley Cooper.
Mini Cooper. Country.
Country. But yeah, like I found that film was one where with the musical sides in like intertwined within the film, there were parts of it I was thinking, bloody hell, this is quite heavy, this.
Mm.
And even things like, for example, like The Greatest Showman as well.
Oh my God, don't start on that.
I absolutely love it. There was another one. I listened to the soundtrack before and I was like, you know what, I'm really digging the soundtrack, let's watch the film. Then I remember watching it the first time on my laptop on Sky Go, and I was like, I've not got the full experience. It's a good film, but I've not got the full experience. Then I ended up watching it during lockdown with Harriet, who's been on here before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we watched it during lockdown. And like, she's a massive fan of it as well. So we're sat there like so buzzing. Good. And I was just like, you know what, this is amazing. This is brilliant.
Greatest Showman is just brilliant. It's I would probably put it up there in one of my favourite films of all time, let alone musical, whatever. And Hugh Jackman's brilliant. And a lot of people don't know, that was always Hugh Jackman's desired path. He always wanted to go into musical theatre, but his way in was films.
Yeah.
But I remember, so, because I love all that musical stuff, I was watching lots of YouTube on it. And I don't know if you've seen them. I might show them to you when we're in the office once.
Yeah.
Where you've got, is it Keala Harris? Or Kamala Harris? I think that's her name.
Keala... Something like that. Seth or something.
Something like that. Yeah. She's the one that plays the bearded lady. And basically, there's these videos on YouTube where they're doing the pitch to the film company to do the film. And they're basically doing the full read-through / sing-through. And it's the first time she performed it in front of the cast.
Yeah.
And so it's This Is Me, obviously. It's the song I'm talking about. And so she's singing the song. She's sort of walking around the room. And she gets to the bit where all of the instruments sort of drop out and it's just her with a little bit of the tinkle. And you can see how emotional she's getting during that performance. And like she's sort of searching for Hugh Jackman's hand. Sort of holds it during a bit of it, and then sort of gets to the point where she finishes the line, and there's that brief pause, and then Hugh's almost in tears, and I'm almost in tears watching it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And they just break into it, and it's just, every song is amazing. From Now On is my favourite song.
That's grown on me, that one, massively.
From Now On, again, for the point it is in the film, for what it means for him as the character. And I think just generally,
yeah.
From Now On, you know, these eyes will not be blinded by the lights. I think that's quite pertinent in real life.
And I find it, that part of the film, it's like, and just the song kind of structure in itself is how it's very like quite down and quite like slowly, and it builds,
yeah.
And then it's just,
and it's yeah, and it's like a real celebratory song. Although it doesn't start off like that in the first bit of the song, it becomes such a celebratory song. And then obviously he realises, right, I've fucked up here. I've got to find my wife. I've got to find my kids. What was I doing chasing this bird? Peace, by the way,
yeah.
In the film.
Never ever.
the never ever woman. But yeah, that song is just... I could just listen to it 100 times over. But again, within the film, like I love everything about it. I love all of the choreography with it. Again, the actual song and the writing, it is great. And that's, they're putting that into the theatre.
That would be sick.
They said, I think it was like not long after it came out, or 6 months to a year after it first came out, they got the green light to turn it into a stage show. So, that's, mate, I will part with many pieces of silver to go to see that.
Palms with silver
front
to go.
And centre.
Oh my god.
One thing that killed me, though, of all the musicals that I've seen, I loved the Sister Act films. And I went to see Sister Act. So when I was working for the FA, we went there for our Christmas do. Little piece, express trip, and then off to watch Sister Act. Really good. It was all original music. It wasn't the music from the films. Which I was gutted about, because there's some absolute bangers in the film. I will follow you. All of that. And Happy Day and all that. But even that was great. But the music wasn't the same as a film. But again, you just can't be going to the theatre and sitting there and knowing that this amazingly rehearsed show, it's probably the 500th time they've done it this week. And it's just, you just get taken on a ride for 2 hours. I love it.
It's like, and it'll be similar to like you said about going to Sister Act and like the original music, going to like a concert of some of an equivalent.
Mm.
You go there for those, to almost relive the moments you love within isolated thing, but to see the energy that everyone brings and whoever you're listening to brings, especially I'd imagine like a theatre show, for example, like when Greatest Showman becomes that, everyone's there to hear This Is Me, everyone's here
to sing along,
to be part of the moment, and that they're 100%. The moments that are just amazing in terms of concerts and or whatever. They're just the energy that comes with those bespoke shows are just unreal.
And I mean obviously the theatre is not cheap to go to at the best of times, but The Greatest Showman, I would part with 3 figures to go see that.
That experience would be great.
I wouldn't need to part with 3 figures to go see it, because you'll get cheaper. I would happily pay up to 200 quid to be front and centre, like in the stalls right at the front, just to see amazing.
Just to be there from
mate, This Is Me. I'd just jump up from my seat. I'd be going up there doing the steps, everything.
We are warriors.
but even that bit, that whole gospel break in there. Oh god, it's just was it Frisian?
Frisian, yeah.
Oh, the Frisian would be unreal. All over me.
Absolute Frisian.
Absolute Frisian.
Chuckle Frisian.
They're
the things that, like, if you could bottle up those the first time you experienced that and sell it, you'd be a very, very wealthy person.
Yeah.
But what I was curious, actually, when you said through growing up to now, at a point where you're quite confident in yourself and from being quite insecure and stuff as a youngster and that, what changed?
So, I mean, those who know me will know I'm a bigger boned girl, basically. So yeah, I've always been a big lad, and I grew up with a stutter, or a stammer, whatever you want to call it, which comes and it goes. Sometimes I have it bad, sometimes it's not as bad. I don't think I've been as bad so far within this. And a lot of people that know me now don't notice it. But growing up, that was very prevalent. I was a big kid. And I think it's just, I would say I was one of your typical popular kids. I would say I'm a popular guy now, in the sense of that I'm outgoing. I've always been outgoing. I've always been an absolute chatterbox. And I've always had friends. I wouldn't have classed myself as one of the popular ones. But yeah, just growing up, as I think a lot of people do now, especially youngsters, it's, you know, when you are, and I'm not going to use the F word because I don't want to use it, when you are bigger, it is tougher. As much as it shouldn't be. And then having an added thing such as a stutter and a stammer, which is a very easy thing for people to take the piss out of,
big time.
Or find humour in, which, when you're older, you don't mind the people you've grown up with having a joke at it, because they, well, one, you know them.
I guess they know the level in which
they know
push
the level
well.
At which to push it, and they'll know the times at which, okay, that's a genuine struggle there. He's had a genuine struggle, and that's not to be joked about. But then there's other times when you just had a little like slip up, and it's actually sounded really funny, and I've realised that it's funny. But yeah, you just sort of just growing up with that, I suppose. Just the fact that I was always outgoing generally sort of just fought through it, and the older you get, the more confident you get, the older you get, the more you learn to just, well, it is what it is. So
it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. So you just live with it, and you think, well, if they're gonna point and laugh at it, then that's fair enough. You develop a thicker like, you know, skin, and it's all right. Well, they're going to make a joke out of it. I don't really care anymore. So, yeah. But then as I got older, because my mates were always great and you'd laugh and joke with all your mates, I think eventually people just get to know that despite having a stutter or a stammer, or despite being the big kid, he's a cool guy. And that ultimately, I think, breaks everything down. And I'm quite confident, I think, in saying that by the end of certainly secondary school, I had a lot of mates. I have a lot of friends. I don't find it difficult to make friends, because I just talk, which is almost ironic, really, to have a impediment of speech. The one thing all you want to do is just to talk more. But yeah, I just sort of grew up and learnt to deal with it and learnt to live with it. And I mean, I had a moment, not a moment, I sort of really attacked the size stuff when I was, I'm 32 now, so I must have been 23. Yeah, so I was about 19 stone when I was 23. I got down to 13 stone in about 2.5 years. Not long before joining here. And obviously, confidence grew massively from that.
Yeah.
Because I felt I pretty much had the body to match my confidence, almost. I'd always had the confidence and the being an extrovert. I'd like to think I'm funny. And I had sort of the appearance then to match it. And obviously, I've, as a lot of people do, I've slipped since then. A lot of it was I got in shape. And obviously, you know, prime years, let's just say. you enjoy your prime years, got in a relationship, sort of ticked over, came out of that relationship, things slip a bit. And then, yeah, sort of just thought, well, I'm just going to tick along. It doesn't define me necessarily that I'm a bit bigger than everyone else, or have been big, got thin again, and got big again. But yeah, like at the end of the day, I think people will ultimately still see he's a nice guy, he's a funny guy, I can chat to him, I get on with him. So it doesn't really matter. But
did you find going down to, we're saying in your prime years, going down to dropping down in weight a lot, was that more a thing for you, or was that more of an external thing?
So there were the three reasons why I did it. Obviously, 23 years old as a coach, I knew the image that I had didn't portray the image of my intended career very well. You know, it's not easy being a 19, 20 stone coach.
Telling kids, yeah, you got to make
telling sure. players, especially senior players, you need to get fit.
Yeah.
That's so great. Do you, mate. Put that cake down and why don't you do the old suicides with us? So that was one thing. At 23, a girl that I liked a lot. She was going away for work, and she was going to be sort of gone for sort of 9 months to a year. So I thought, oh, that's a decent amount of time to just see what I can do then. And, you know, when she comes back, I might look a bit different.
Yeah.
And then the second thing was just typical, just history of ill health in my family. Well, not ill health. mum and dad. Mum was diabetic from a young age. Dad developed it sort of older age. My brothers developed it. So it's not looking good for me, having still been a big guy. So they were the three catalysts sort of 10 years ago. And also the aesthetics of it. I'd never really had a time in my life, I would say, where I was fit in the aesthetic sense, in the physically fit sense, yeah. Bearing in mind that my career was in football and sport. And it was sort of like, and at the time I was self-employed, so I had the time to do it. And that was the key thing for me. I had the time, I could go to the gym every morning. Well, I could have my lion every morning. I'd get to the gym for an hour and a half, I could prep food, and then go off to work. You know, my working day was more 1 till 9.
Yeah.
So I had the whole morning to do all that, and that helped massively. And obviously when you get back into the hustle bustle of full time, certainly coming here, when I came here 6 years ago, I came from that self-employed 1 till 9 day. It then becomes harder doing the 8 till 5, and then adding on extra stuff in the evening. That definitely didn't help. But yeah, I would say that they were the three reasons right at the start.
I think, like you said, like being full-time now, your priorities are now, I think for now anyway, elsewhere. Definitely, you almost think, it'd be nice to go and go for a walk and do whatever.
Yeah.
But to really dedicate the time to try and be in the gym an hour and a half a day is like you said, like now, different part of your life. Things are, you've got different commitments, different priorities now.
Yeah, definitely. But I need to also remind myself that I've got to make the time for me. And like even obviously being here at Wickham, I obviously helped to deliver a health and wellbeing course. One of the big things is, you know, you got to make time and not excuses, and I have to remind myself of that. But you are dead right, like my lifestyle's changed in the sense of that obviously at 32 now, I'm before COVID, 9 till 5, coaching in the evenings till maybe 7, 8.
Yeah.
Coming home, you're thinking, well, you know, been at work 13, you know, or been up and out for 13 hours. I want to get home and have some time to just chill out. Now have a dog, so he's a priority. And you don't necessarily have the time on the face of it to fit that in. But that's going to be, that's the big thing I've got to work on now with myself personally, to make sure that I'm making that time. Because as well, you know, for me personally, like, we want to have a family soon, and we're sort of working towards that. But my physical health, the physical health of the man is just as important as the physical health of the woman. And I know my physical health will not be conducive to having the best chance of having a family as it could be if I was healthier.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've got to put at the forefront of my mind, being 32, knowing that things do get harder as you get older. So that's at the forefront, certainly.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah, where as well as having the kind of different priorities and different things now, it's almost rationalising and thinking, right, you know what, I think I might need to make a bit of a, whether it, because a lot of it's like Rome's been built in a day. You can't just go, oh, you know what, I'm going to be, get up 5 a.m, gym for 2 hours, then go to work. It might just be, oh, well, take the dog for a 30-minute walk.
That's it, yeah,
Change your diet, change whatever. And then that's, you might it. Find over time, a lot of things, you do the 1% difference every day. You might find next year, you think, bloody hell, I'm in a much better position than I'm in now.
And the trap I always fall in is because I know I've done it, I know I can do it again. So because I've done it, I know, all right, well, I've got all the resources. I know how to do it. And I've got the experience of how to do it. So when I do it, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it's a case now, I'm like, well, you keep saying when you do it, you've got to find the right time to think, okay, today's the day where we're going to start. But I need to have a plan. I need to have a process. I can't go, I'll just start now. Like when I first started all those years back, 23, I literally sat down with pieces of paper, notepads, Excel spreadsheet saying, right, this is when you train, which means this is when I need to have this, which means this is when I'm going to eat, which means this is when I'm going to do that. These are the meals that I'm going to have. This is when I'm going to have them. This is the timing of this. And I work so much better with that.
Yeah.
My current lifestyle isn't as conducive to that in terms of it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm up. I've got to get the dog up. Okay, it's 7:30. I'm up. I've got to wake up the dog. Take the dog out for a wee and a shit. Bring him back in. I've got to feed him. Right, Holly's up now. She's getting ready. She gets on the computer. She's dialed in until 5. So I'm thinking, right, okay, she's now dialed in until 5. You know, new job. She's working really hard. And I don't want to disturb that. So I'm like, okay, well, I've still got to work from home for a bit of time. If I go out, the dog starts to play up, Holly's dialed in, and I'm very conscious of that.
Yeah.
So not that I'm trying to find excuses, it may sound like that, but I want to make sure that when I start, not if something tries to affect it, I've got numerous things I've got where I can put a shield up, so I can back that one away. Oh, this has come up. No worries, I can deviate to this, or I like a plan.
Yeah.
If I don't have the time to have a plan, and then if I start and something affects the plan too much, I'm like, oh, for God's sake, I'm not going to start again. Go back to step one and start A again. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and being being adaptable and stuff is, I mean, in our everyday work, it's like just like on page one of what you need to do.
100%.
So I guess that follows in all across the board, I guess.
100%.
But yeah, I think in terms of that sort of time, this sort of, I guess, phase in your life now where it's a bit more, you've got the dog now and things are, you're looking at the next steps in terms of like starting a family and things. Looking at lockdown and looking at the last year or so, have your motivations, have they been enhanced through the pandemic? If they stayed the same, if they deviated at all in terms of where you want to go and what you want to do, has everything changed?
Definitely. I mean, obviously working in football like I do, that's been my career since I was 15, really, when I first started putting out cones. Sort of 14, 15 when I first started helping putting out cones at a local grassroots club for their Saturday morning club. But yeah, like, I know I want to... maybe it sounds cliche, maybe it doesn't. I want to live a life where... because we get one shot and lockdown has shown that it's pretty crap being stuck indoors the whole time. But also, hundreds of thousands of people have died and you can be gone like that. So I need to make sure that I'm doing what I really want to do and able to build a life for myself, Holly, and future family where we're all good. So, like, I love football. I love the job I have, but I'd love to be in a position where I'm more time rich. I'd love to escape the rat race, being in a position where I'm reliant upon a job. So when I was self-employed, I sort of had an experience of sort of running something and having different sort of streams of revenue where I wasn't delivering there and I was earning money, and that was quite cool.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get back in. I'd love to get to the stage where I can develop a passive income. Relatively passive. And I know that likely probably won't be within football long term. So yeah, like, I think I know that what lockdown has shown me is how much I enjoy my job, I enjoy the people I work with, but how desperately I want to build a life where I'm not having the experience I had here when we were told we're about to go on unpaid leave.
Yeah.
And I was crying the whole drive home because I didn't know how I was going to pay for a mortgage. I didn't know any of that. I was like, we're fucked, basically.
Yeah.
I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And that feeling was mutual amongst the room. So I don't ever want to be in a position like that ever again. For me individually, for Holly and future family and stuff. So I've been really trying to sort my financial position out. And I know we've had lots of random chats about yeah. stuff like this. But that's become really apparent to me recently. So my big motivation has been sort your life out. From like an admin point of view, sort of like, yeah. right, how are things financially? Yeah, you've got a car loan. You probably don't want that for long. You had quite a bit of credit card debt. Yeah, you don't want that. You know, you took out finance for some radiators. Yeah, probably not the most informed thing to be doing. So I'm sorting out all of that so that hopefully in a year or two's time, I'm less reliant upon my job. But then I think what that will also mean is that will give me more love for my job.
Yeah.
I won't resent it as much. There's nothing I love more when we've been stuck in the office from 9 a.m. to jump in the car at 2:30 knowing you're going to go to a school, do an after school club with an absolute ledge group of year twos or something like that, or go and do a goalkeeping session with the EDA. Those are the highlights of the day. So if I can get to a position in life where I don't have to do the previous 7 hours or the previous 5 hours of work, and I can just enjoy those two.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's it then.
So that, through lockdown, that's become the big thing. And I want to become time rich. Not necessarily financially rich. And again, we've chatted about it. I've learned through lockdown that real wealth comes through time.
Yeah, 100%.
And I want more time to spend with Holly or my parents or the dog or my friends who have been massive for me throughout lockdown. And that's my motivation now. More of that.
Yeah.
So if coming back to work and working my ass off to get back into a position so that financially everything's great, so that then I'm less reliant upon working in itself, that's what I want.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just listening to that, I think definitely starting my new job, I found I have much more time now than I think I'm still working the same hours, but because rather than being 11 till 7, 6 days a week, I'm now 8:30 till 4, 5 days a week.
Mm.
And I find that's now going into next term when I'm going to start delivering and stuff. That's going to give me more time now to go and enjoy myself rather than working like
you absolutely have
and just getting I think I've got to a point now I can be like you know what, now I don't need to be doing 50 hour weeks anymore. No. I don't need to be doing 60 hour weeks anymore. I'm happy for
still less than you yeah than you're getting now.
Exactly. Yeah. And working for pittance really.
Yeah.
But I think like for me, I've got this like, it's going to sound really contradictory, like this high functioning anxiety where I'm very much a thinker, overthinker, and thinking like, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Which then motivates me to overproduce and to work 100% and a little bit more because I'm like, what if this fucks up? What if this does go wrong? What if this changes? What if this, and that comes from like, I don't know where that comes from, but like it fuels my work side, fuels my social side, if that makes sense.
Mm, yeah.
And I think this lockdown has really showed, or this year anyway, because it's just over a year now of us being locked away.
Yeah.
But I think it's really showed how, like you said, how important it is to be rich in time rather than money, because we've all been furloughed, we've all been skint all year.
100%,
and to be able to have the time to spend with friends and to go see family and to do the fun stuff, that's what and like chatting to Anas for the episode I've put out, that's come out today, you can listen now if you want to.
Yeah.
plug. But
you're getting the hang of this.
Yeah, available on all your streaming platforms. But he was talking about his experiences traveling and his experiences going and seeing the world. And it was like one of those ones where some people might be like, you know what, I'm happy in my bubble, happy doing my thing. But to go and do things and go and experience new things, getting to like the end of your time here, I guess, and being like, look, I've gone and seen the world. I've gone and done this. It's often the... Often what I find to be richer, you feel more, like you say, wealthier within yourself.
Definitely.
To be like, look, I've gone and I've had time to go and see this, to go to Africa.
I've been to go to, I've been to the Gambia,
And to, rather than to be like, oh, what have you done? I've just stayed in my little bubble and I've made...
And I've got friends that are like that.
Yeah. Which
I've got friends that are like that are doing really well in the corporate world. You know, I've got friends now that I know, you know, they've got families now, they've got kids, and it's amazing, and they're awesome people. Their wife is incredible, their kids are beautiful, they've got an amazing home, and they're living a great life for them.
Yeah.
And that's what they feel is, and they see that as success, and fair play to them.
100%.
100%. But they perhaps haven't had those experiences. I did a little 2.5 month trip with a couple of mates traveling the world when I was like 18, 19, after an inheritance from my auntie that had died. That's the last thing she'd have wanted me to spend that money on, probably. But I won't. And I did that, and I've done a few things like that. But then I didn't necessarily do all the partying at school. Like, I was one of those ones that I'd get invited to the parties, but I didn't feel like I fit. So I wouldn't go, but I've still had some great life experiences, and there's some people that don't have that, and I think I agree, like when you're, you know, when you are on your deathbed, you know, you can think, oh, that was a good laugh over in Australia, or that was really fun that week over in Hawaii, or those 2 weeks over in Thailand were awesome, and oh, when we went to that trip over to America to watch NFL, and which I love doing. Things like that are great. Amazing. And they're the things that you'll think about.
100%.
Not, oh, it's really good. I've got £1 million left in my bank.
Yeah, I had a really good year of saving that year.
Yeah. Although £1 million in the bank would be lovely. Yeah,
anyone wants to do a good deed,
exactly.
I could really do with that at the minute.
But you are dead right. You are dead right. And I've got a couple of really solid groups of mates. I class you guys, the work group, as key to me coping through lockdown. I've got my sort of school college mates, which are my sort of NFL fantasy league group, which are, without them, I literally don't know how I'd have coped. Just constant pointless chat for the whole year and talking bollocks for the last 12 months, as well as NFL. And stuff like that. I've realised how important they are. And mum and dad, like, I've not given mum and dad a hug for 12 months. And that's shit.
Yeah.
That's real fucking shit. And even, like, my nan, you know, she's 95. And, you know, she's got good genes. Like, a lot of the Homan side, in terms of nans, have batted well.
The nans have done well. They've got good innings.
They've all batted well. And we really hope she gets the bat up for 100. But that's not guaranteed, you know, coming off of COVID, where she's been pretty much locked in her house for the last year, not able to get up and go out and do a little trip to Marks and Sparks or to wander down to the bus stop. You know, she's probably lost a bit of health and lost a bit of muscle and stuff like that. And you do hope every year, God, I really hope Nan gets to next Christmas and stuff like that. And so that's the biggest thing the biggest thing is my friends are so important. And if I can get to a point in my life where I'm not reliant upon a job, and I've got money coming in and my life's all good and stuff, and it's like, oh, let's go for a weekend down here and with the kids and go get a cottage in Cornwall or I don't know, something.
Because
that's going to be fulfilling for me and us. And that for me is the biggest realisation and is the motivation for me now.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that we've had chats with like some of my close friends who have really just started their journeys just coming out of uni and finishing uni over the last couple of years and going, right, now I'm full-time work and stuff like that, and always thinking ahead and thinking, right, oh, this would be cool if we could get to a position where we can go, oh, you know what, let's just take 3 weeks, four weeks off and go and do stuff, go and explore, go and do whatever, and getting into positions where And then like thinking even further down, like thinking, oh, how cool would it be in like 20 years time or so? And just go, like, fuck it, take some time off, yeah, with like families and stuff, and go and do some.
And that's cool why experience. I felt like being 32, knowing younger people such as yourself, I know I've made a lot of mistakes, you could say, and I feel it's important that I pass that on as pointless or nonsense or not as important as they may seem. I know we've had stupid chats about workplace pensions, and like I'm 32 and I don't have a pension, like what am I doing? But then at the same time I feel like, well, if I can pass on stuff like that to you, like, oh, actually Billy, you're buzzing now in terms of time, income, or whatever, you know, relative to your age, perhaps, relative to what you do, and you know, you might not spend a lot of money generally now, or whatever. Oh, actually, Billy, maybe I would think about that, because at your age now, you might get to 40 and think, I love my coaching, I've had a great career in football, still do, but now I'm not reliant upon it. And as you mentioned, that I could just do a Pep Guardiola or do a Klopp and take a year off, and think, I've got enough money to go and travel and research coaching, or travel on my own terms and think, where do I want to take my career next? You might think you've got enough to just stop and live a life that you really want to live, doing podcasts. And
episode 4,206.
Episode 4,095, and you're flying to America to interview someone, or you're flying to the Gambia to interview Bats or whatever. And I feel like, because that's what I do now. I'd love to speak to 23-year-old Andy now and say, do all the things you did, think a bit more about that.
Yeah.
Because you'll be in a different boat when you're 32. And you might find you can do a little bit more. Or you might find you'll have the same, you'll be in the same position you are now, but a few things will be better. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's sometimes what I'm used about.
Yeah,
Andy Muse,
which I hate. but I think, I just think it's often the things that we don't ever get told about explicitly through like school and growing up and stuff. Like,
I will talk another hour about that.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just, yeah, I'm hungry. But I think to be fair with this sort of like style of things, this is now what your hat trick appearance.
The
match ball, left foot, right foot. This is the header. But yeah, like this sort of thing. Like I've chatted with Ash. I've chatted with Harriet. Chatted with like people like Anas yesterday and stuff. And just this is the kind of vibe it is. Just chat some shit.
I enjoy it. We've gone from musicals to growing up with a stammer to lockdown.
To workplace pensions,
yeah, exactly. We'll have, what was his name from the Halifax Act?
Howard.
Howard will be popping up next. who gives you extra?
get Howard on the pod, boy.
But yeah, mate, like, but it's good, like, these things, I often think things like this, like, even chats like this, and you're very good at it, because you make it very, I didn't even know when you pressed record. I had an inkling of when you might have, but it's almost like therapy. In a way, a fun type of therapy.
It's almost just a bit of an environment where you just
where you can have a vent.
Yeah,
you can get something off your chest, or you can just verbalise something perhaps that you've thought. But like, even the things about like sorting things out health wise, like it's like, God, yeah, I must pull my finger out with things like that. Stop messaging the guys about whether they wipe from back to front. And maybe use that time to go for a jog.
Debating Nutella or Nutella.
That's it.
But God. Yeah, I think this sort of thing is just that what I've decided to try and do is to think about, especially with work now, like for example, they're like, people don't buy what you do, but why you do it, and think about the why I do this. One, like for me to chat to people and to have a bit of fun, like, but also too, I've thought about it as it's very much full of just ordinary people, and it doesn't have to be someone who is like because we're at the Wickham Ground now, some like a footballer, or it doesn't have to be a manager, it doesn't have to be a multimillionaire, it doesn't have to be, it's just where I find personally, I don't know if people listening, they might just think, oh, just Eerie's again. chance for shit for an hour. But like, I find it's just, it's cool to learn about, like, you I know very well, and other people, just like different things that wouldn't normally be in a normal conversation in like a, in the workplace.
In the workplace.
I don't agree with that. In the workplace.
I don't agree with that. In the workplace.
Get Eric Hitchman.
Eric Hitchman.
And his claw. But see,
I was a little track. I am surprised we got this long without too many bread quotes.
I don't agree with that in the workplace. But yeah, I think what I've decided to title it as, or if I think in a description somewhere, I put like looking at ordinary people who are capable or who are doing extraordinary things.
Mm.
And it's just almost so people can listen and go, oh, look, this is just two normal people having a normal conversation.
That sort of chat you'd have in a pub.
Yeah, that you'd have in a pub, or like you'd have in an office, or that you'd have in the workplace. And but yeah, I just think this is the sort of vibe I want it to go down. And whoever comes on, like, I've chatted to people who, before recording, I don't know really. And it's just like, oh, what are you saying? what do you do on a day-to-day basis? And I learn a bit about them, and they learn a bit about me. And I think over time, I've probably not done as of late much about me in this. That's what we said.
Well, that's the potential role reversal that we've discussed, Billy.
That's about to change.
I'll be the one potentially handed the microphone and asking you, do you wipe from back to front or front to back?
I'm the captain now. But yeah, I think that's one thing. I think I'm just thinking when to do that. Actually, that might be. I was thinking the first thought was for like the 50th.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When I hit episode 50, which would be what? This would be number 44. So 50 will be 6 weeks time, which will be May, end of May, just before June, because it'll be a year.
That's my birthday. It could be your birthday present to me, mate. You give me the controls.
There we go. You're welcome. but yeah, I think that'd be what, yeah, just before the year anniversary, you can call it, which is like the 4th of June, if I remember. Something like that.
Your guess is better than mine, mate.
Flown by. But yeah.
But like, you are dead right in the whole order, like, and again, like, throughout lockdown, I've watched a lot of Netflix, and I've been, obviously we adore The Office.
Yeah.
And I've been watching The US Office, and I think, I've not got to the end yet, but apparently there's a really good quote at the end where Pam, who's the US version of Dawn, is talking to camera, and she said about how there's beauty in the ordinary. Like, you know, why would anyone want to come and film people in an office? It's just boring and ordinary, but actually no, there's beauty within that. And I think stuff like this, 100%, like I said, it's, you'll talk about all sorts of different things which people probably may not have wanted to listen to on a podcast, but it's exactly the sort of stuff they talk about every day.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what makes it a really fun thing to listen to. It's quite a charming thing to listen to, I think. But even like you said, like, I remember you messaging me when you said, I'm thinking of doing a podcast. And back then, that's like, that's not what you would do.
Yeah.
And you are a totally different person from then. Still the same shit jokes.
It's the same dead
still
banter.
The same deadpan, witty banter. But then seeing that... The episodes are still coming with different people, and the stuff you talk about is different, and it is great. But like, and like you said, it's, you know, it's ordinary talk, it's ordinary chats with ordinary people, with someone who you could argue, for want of a better term, was ordinary in the sense of that I'm a 22-23 year old football coach. And I'm going to do a podcast. Everyone in the world is doing. Everyone's doing a podcast these days.
That's why it's not another.
It's not another podcast. But I think what's so good about it is it is just. And I said to you, like, the whole navigating life with some help from my friends. It's like, that is every day. It's so every day.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can relate to every day.
I think that's the kind of.
And again, there is beauty in that.
Yeah, just
as monotonous and boring as people may think that is.
And that's the thing, like, no two episodes have been the same.
No.
I found all across, like, talking to people who, like, I'd see on a more day-to-day basis, like, we chat, like our conversation is different to one we've had with Ash and the one I've had yesterday and the ones I've had last week. Mm-hmm. And everyone has a different path and has got to where they are now in different ways and had different challenges, different obstacles, different benefits, different problems. And this sort of thing is just somewhere where they can go, look, like, actually, I've done quite well to get to this point and 100%. Through all the kind of difficult stuff and even the fun stuff, thinking, oh, brilliant, I've done this. This is a good experience. It's a good experience. Because it's like, I don't know, someone might listen, someone might not. but like they might think, oh, you know what? Like, yeah, like there's someone that's like a group I could probably go and sit in a pub with, or sit in, go and have dinner with, or go sit in a park and have a chat with, or whatever. 100%. You can almost see yourself. For me, like when I listen to similar things, and when I say similar things, like Joe Rogan, for example, he's very much that sort of vibe. Is just turn it on and just chat shit. 100%. And I find that some of those people on there, I think, you know what, like I might listen to think, oh, I agree with that, or nah, I don't agree with what they're saying, or I think of the different viewpoints and stuff. But that's just very much what I want it to be. I don't want it to be something that becomes like. That's quite scripted or quite
quite, then you lose the
authenticity.
100%.
I want it to just be turn the like little prep, maybe have a few notes, and like today I didn't have any notes for today.
Yeah,
and like just think, oh, I might think about talk to this person about what they do, maybe how they got to their point, and for a lot of it it's just chat some shit. Mm. I think that's where.
But like even all the podcasts I listen to, like they are all just they make it feel like. They're just chats. Like, I love my NFL and I love all of my fantasy football. And even the ones I listen to, it's not someone interviewing someone else. There will be moments of that within it. But it might be three guys that are all really good mates talking about NFL, talking about fantasy football, talking about... I like listening to Ellis and John. Have you heard of them? Ellis James and John Robbins. They're both comedians. They were on Radio X and now on BBC Radio 5 Live. And they're both comedians, and I love comedy, and I love listening to comedians anyway. But they are two best mates that do a radio show where they're often doing their radio stuff and little topics to talk about. But throughout, it's just two best mates sitting and chatting, having a laugh.
Yeah.
On a radio show. And throughout lockdown, they've had like isolation tapes. They've called them the isolation tapes, where it's just them and their producer doing exactly what we've done here. Just like, oh, you know, how was your day? Yeah, it's been good. I've not done too much because I can't do anything. Or, oh, I went for a walk today, but I thought I would do... I mean, I'm not doing it any justice, making it sound funny. They are two comedians. They're very, very funny. But they'll make an episode out of talking about how he went for a run, talking about how he watched the Wales game, because one of them is Welsh, he's a massive Wales fan. Going to talking about how the producer's doing his garden, going to talk about something else, and you're pissing yourself throughout the whole thing. And that's what I love.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this works really well.
I think, those like little moments of within like maybe serious chats and stuff and quite like deeper chats, there's like those moments where like someone says something that's quite like off the cuff and quite funny, and you think, bloody hell, brilliant.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, that's where I get my like gratification from, is when you listen to something, you kind of have certain bits, like even like episodes that I've done before, or like if I listen back on them or whatever, just to fill my ego. Just go, oh, you know, that was
quite I've listened back to every episode that I've been on, Billy.
Yeah. Oh, don't you worry. That's me on a Friday. Go, yeah, I'll listen. What
God,
I listen
that was
to.
Bloody funny there.
That's very good. They didn't appreciate it. But but I just think, those like little moments where you kind of might be someone opening up about something that's happened in their past, and you think, wow, that's like really, like G, for example. Oh, I was like, that's really powerful.
I messaged her into the afterwards and I was like, you are just my favourite person in the world. She's amazing. She's so cool. But even listen to that, you're like, you work with these people every day, but you don't know everything.
Yeah.
And when you learn stuff like that, you're like, you're just amazing. You're just brilliant.
Yeah, it gives you that new... Cause,
and you do get closer to them.
Yeah, and it gives you that like beneath the surface, beneath the bonnet, sort of look into people, and like even people who are like a bit more known and a bit more have a bit more of a following and stuff, if I ever get people like that on here. And you just
when
Dave Chappelle, you're listening.
Imagine if you got Ricky Gervais.
oh, that'd be brilliant.
Oh my God. I'd literally just be doing Brent quotes.
Yeah.
I'd just sit in the back. Billy, can I just sit in the back? And yeah. I'm just gonna every time he says something, if there's one Brent quote I can use, I'll just say it. He might be sat there thinking about what to say. Brent mused.
Yeah. Just a good idea. It's a good idea. Forever.
Forever. Yeah.
It's like ipso facto. Yeah, trust received, exactly. Responsibility given.
Exactly. Trust, encouragement, reward, loyalty. Satisfaction. Yeah, loyalty, satisfaction.
Oh, that'd be one. I think if he comes on here, it should be like he'd go on about something, like something he's passionate about. Which I hate. But yeah. Oh, that'd be all one. I'd have to get to just pester and call me. Get on. Come have a chat.
It's not like doing anything.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? He's only worth a couple hundred million quid. He can spare an afternoon. But yeah, tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely Hank Marvin.
Yeah,
I'm
mate.
Do some cinco chicos.
Yes, mate.
And then get some, I'll do the old outros.
Oh, yeah, we'll do it.